I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets, you know, like Fred VanVleet did tonight. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So, I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 122-112 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I got to say, man, I've really missed Fred. I've just really missed Fred. You know, he finally returned to a lineup after missing about, you know, 2 weeks or so with just a couple of injuries. You know, his official list that I think with hamstring? But, you know, he's dealing with a little jammed finger and assortment of issues for Fred VanVleet, who has certainly, you know, put in the work this season, taking a lot of hits, taking a lot of bumps, and so, you know, he needed some time to load manage, essentially. And yeah, he looked great tonight, man. He returned from injury, was on a minutes restriction, and he was on a minutes restriction just because the Raptors had mercy on the Minnesota Timberwolves, because Fred VanVleet, in those 29 minutes, which, you know, he was restricted to 29. He plays 29 tonight. He had 29 points on 11 of 16 shooting, including 7 of 8 from 3. Fred was a monster tonight, man. And it just, you know, he returned straight back to the starting lineup. You know, and honestly, it was kind of good that he did that, because he was the freshest player on the team. He didn't play against Washington in that back-to-back. He only played one half of it. And obviously, he's been, you know, sitting out. And so, he's the freshest guy on the team. And, you know, it's good that he started, because this was a lethargic effort for the Raptors overall. I know you see 122 points. You see 51% shooting, 37% from three. And you're like, it's pretty good. What are you complaining about? I'm first off, nothing really to complain about at all, really. But, you know, this was a sluggish game. Let's be real. If you watch this game, first half, I mean, you know, Raptors are sleepwalking a little bit. The Timberwolves scored 39 points in the first quarter. What's his name? Jared Culver. Couldn't stop scoring. I mean, it's like, all right, cool. But, you know, it's one of those games where if you've watched enough Raptors games, not even just over the years, but just, you know, especially in recent years and how this team in particular operates, like, they were always going to respond. They were always going to get back into the game. And really, it's just one of those things where if they started the second half, they played a little bit of defense, you could be pretty confident that the Raptors are going to win that game. And that's what happened tonight. The Raptors, you know, started taking the game seriously in the third quarter. Kyle Lowry came out. 17 points in the third was just incredible. The dual backcourt of Lowry and VanVleet. I know a lot of people will like to nitpick that just because the two of them are pretty small and whatever, and they're both point guards. I mean, I don't matter what you are, man. You give me 57 combined points on 21 of 33 shooting, I'm not going to complain, including 12 threes between the two of them. Jesus, they combined for a Danya Marshall tonight. So, the starting backcourt was great. Kyle Lowry really got the team going. Again, it was a sluggish game in the first half. A lot of mistakes, a lot of missed shots, a lot of Serge fumbling the ball, a lot of Mark missing open threes, a lot of OG getting back cut, oddly enough. It's just a night where it's uncharacteristic. All of that stuff is uncharacteristic, except maybe the Serge's finger thing. But anyway, Raptors take it seriously in the third quarter. They start playing some defense. That's the most important thing. They started playing some defense. The Raptors limited the Timberwolves to 22 points in the third quarter and 28 in the fourth. A couple of those, you know, end of the game, whatever, garbage time possessions. But for the most part, the Raptors defensively locked it down. And the Timberwolves, you know, I mean, I don't know. They just don't play defense. Like, the Raptors scored 64 points in the second half. Again, like I mentioned, they shot it very efficiently from the field. And they kind of got whatever they wanted, to be honest. Like, you know, the Raptors early in the game, they're giving up a couple offensive rebounds. You know, again, this is just all signs of fatigue. And the Raptors got in late to Minnesota last night, obviously playing the second half of back-to-back. It's a huge snowstorm right now across, you know, most of the West Coast, you know, especially in Toronto, and also parts of the, you know, just all over the East Coast. Also, the pictures from Newfoundland or whatever are pretty wild right now. Hopefully, everyone's okay and everyone's safe. But yeah, those pictures of people opening their doors to just a wall of snow and an imprint of the door in the is just, yeah. Anyway, hopefully everyone's okay. So anyway, so you know, it's a sleepy game. It's a sluggish game. You could see a team getting trapped, but the Raptors, you know, refused. This is a, you know, it's a trap game. But also the Timberwolves, they have some talent on the team. You know, Andrew Wiggins is, I mean, he played well tonight. He always plays well against the Raptors. It's funny how he always show up against Canada's only team, but will never play for Team Canada. And you know, Karl-Anthony Towns returned from injury, and you know, he was on a minutes restriction as well, but you know, he's clearly a guy who could put up numbers on a bad team. And so there's enough talent there. And honestly, the Timberwolves played hard. Like, the thing is, they did not play well, but there was effort. There was compete. Like, for a while, the Raptors would separate, and the Timberwolves would come back. Like, the Raptors almost, you know, took control of the game in the second quarter there. You know, wiped out the deficit, took the lead, and then the Timberwolves roared back. And they were mad annoying for, like, a solid three-minute stretch there where, you know, a lot of fouls went against the Raptors. A lot of technicals went against the Raptors. You know, Marcus Saul and who was it? Pascal ended up picking up Tex. You know, meanwhile, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns is throwing a tantrum on the other side and basically being hysterical, and no one cares because whatever. But yeah, it was annoying there. But then the Raptors, you know, established the lead, and then the Timberwolves came back, and then Robert Covington hit some threes, and it was just like, all right, when are you guys going to finally die? I mean, the Raptors eventually pulled away in the fourth quarter. I mean, they led for the fourth quarter, but mostly in part, you know, by double digits, you know, at times by 20 points, obviously. Like I mentioned, Kyle really took over for that third quarter stretch, really sort of set the tone, really got the Raptors in the lead. And this is the nice thing about having Fred and Kyle at the same time, because now there is no slip-up when the Raptors go to their bench, because Fred VanVleet or Kyle Lowry, one of the two of them is going to be on the floor at all times. They're going to be great when they're together, but it's also going to be great because one of them is going to be on the floor at all times. That's going to set a baseline for the offense, and especially when those guys are hot. Like, you know, it just makes such a huge difference. Like, Fred blew this game wide open. That's why he was a game-best plus 20 tonight. Like, he just came in and just honestly gave the Timberwolves the work, man. I mean, I'm getting to the KFC bucket of the game early, and honestly, you know, it was Fred VanVleet. The shot wasn't that impactful. There was not one shot in this game that kind of changed the whole game. But it was just a sign of how this game was, where the Raptors were up 19 with 6 minutes left. Fred knows he's on a minutes restriction. He knows he's about to get subbed out in the next dead whistle. Comes down, dribbles. You know, he's the first one down the floor. You know, the rest of his teammates are behind him. And it's early in the shot clock, and he just pulls up for three. He just pulls up. Yeah, you know, he was open, but he wasn't that open. He just pulls up for three, swishes the shot. The bench goes crazy. The Timberwolves call timeout. Fred comes out of the game. Good night, Minnesota. 29 points for Fred in his return. Just amazing stuff. And it wasn't really a feel-good win. You know, whatever. The Timberwolves are just, they're just not a very good team and whatever. And it wasn't like the Raptors played their best basketball. But still, it was nice to see them, you know, just come through, play professionally. Obviously, their defense was not there in the first half, but it really picked up. And, you know, the overall did a good job. Like, Minnesota shot 40.4% from the field. You know, a lot of that is them shooting 14 of 50 from three. Like, yo, what are we doing? What are we doing? This is not how basketball should be played. I understand three is more than two, but goddamn, 50 threes from a team that can't even shoot. Like, what am I looking at, man? Like, Karl-Anthony Towns, for example. Not to go in too much on him, but I mean, he was mad annoyed tonight. But still, Towns went 1 of 7 from 3. We're talking about one of the best low post players in the NBA. You know, this is not a Kristaps Porzingis situation. But we're talking about Karl-Anthony Towns, who's legitimately dominant in terms of rebounding, in terms of post scoring. He has great touch, pick and rolls. You can use him a lot of different ways. But this man, and I understand, this is his first game back from injury, whatever. But this man shot 11 times on the night, and 7 of those were threes. He shot 1 of 7 for 3. The number of times he just bricked threes from the perimeter, it's just, you know, I mean, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing? And honestly, like, it just makes for a kind of unwatchable basketball. Maybe that's just me griping, but, you know, it's just, I mean, come on. Who do you want to see Minnesota shoot 50 threes and miss 50 threes? It's just, anyway, it just doesn't, it doesn't bode, it doesn't sit well with me, to be honest. But Yeah, you know, on the whole, the Raptors play well. You know, it's you know, they kind of gave the requisite effort to get it done. You know, the game was, you know, undecided at halftime. The Raptors decided to take the game, and that's what you like to see. And that's how the Raptors are going to climb in the standings, really. I don't have that much else to say about the game, to be honest. So I don't know how I'm going to do another 20 minutes on this pod. But, you know, this is how the Raptors are going to win the standings, by taking care of business. Like, that streak where the Raptors were undefeated against under 500 teams, and I think that got that finally got snapped at like 16 games or so. Like, they got to get back to that. You know, that loss to Portland was unfortunate. There's a couple of losses here in this stretch. The Raptors have been hot, shorthanded, have been, again, just unfortunate. You look at, you know, that Indiana game that went to overtime, and you look at that OKC game at home. You look at, obviously, the Portland game, the San Antonio game. Those games were costly in the sense that, I mean, even if you flip two of those games, the Raptors would be in the 2 seed right now. And the 2 seed is the most coveted spot, right? Because you don't want to go into the playoffs and have to face, like, an actual good team in the first round. If you get the 2 seed, you're probably facing Brooklyn in the first round. And that's no KD with Brooklyn, obviously. And Kyrie's, you know, I mean, honestly, the way Kyrie's going with that team, like, they might not even make the playoffs. He might just tank them out of there. You might be seeing, like, the Orlando Magic again. Actually, there's a real chance that Orlando Magic get the 7 seed and that the Sixers get, like, the 4 seed or whatever, and the Raptors play the Magic, the Sixers, and probably the Bucks in these finals. It'd be pretty fun, to be honest. You know, I'm a little bit tired of Orlando as a city, and Philly was okay, but and Milwaukee, obviously, you know, just literally a dump. But you know, it would be funny if that works out. But anyway, yeah, it's important to get that 2 seed. The Raptors are climbing up the standings now that everyone is healthy. Obviously, they found they've won 3 straight now. They're in a nice little groove here. And you look at it. I mean, the Raptors are getting healthy, and everything's working well for the team, especially when everyone is healthy. The schedule is getting a little bit easier, although they do have some very weird games where a lot of one-game road trips, like tonight against the Timberwolves, for example, and it's not ideal. It's definitely not ideal, and it does make the schedule a little bit tougher than it seems on paper, but the schedule is pretty easy. They're pretty soft, and the Raptors, you know, for the remainder of the season, really. So, you know, they played the hardest part of their schedule already. They're getting everyone healthy. Everyone's back. A lot of players are fresh. And, you know, you compare that to teams ahead of them right now. Like, they just passed the Boston Celtics to get into the 3rd seed tonight. The Celtics just lost to the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, I like the Phoenix Suns. I actually like them this year. You know, Kelly Oubre is doing nice things for them, although he didn't play tonight. He's been hurt. You know, but, you know, I mean, come on, man. You're losing to the Suns at home. And that's a sign that things are not going well. And honestly, if you look at you know, the Celtics of late, I thought they were going to do something this year. I feel like a lot of their pieces have been playing really well, but now they've lost, what, 6 of the last 8 games? They lost to the Spurs, they lost to the Sixers, you know, they beat the Pelicans and the Bulls, which, I mean, you know, whatever, everyone beats the Pelicans and the Bulls. They lose to the Pistons? Like, oh my God, that is a bad loss. And then the Milwaukee Bucks, which is understandable, and then tonight against the Suns at home, which is a bad loss. So, that's tough for them. They're about to play the Lakers, and then they're going to play the Grizzlies, who are really red hot right now. They go on a road trip. So, you know, we'll see. We might not see much from the Celtics in a couple days. And even the Miami Heat, I mean, you know, they've been pretty good all season. They've been pretty consistent. But even of late, they're hitting a little bit of a slow patch. You know, they've lost games to the Wizards, which, I mean, bro, how are you losing to the Wizards? I mean, we just saw the Wizards. How are you losing to them? Losing to the Magic, losing to the Nets, losing to the Knicks. Like, you know, they're not necessarily consistent on a game-to-game basis as much as they were earlier in the year. And, you know, so, again, you know, it's unfortunate the Raptors lost the tiebreaker to the Heat already, because they already lost twice. But yeah, that 2 seed should be pretty attainable. And honestly, even by the All-Star break, that could be theirs. So the Raptors are 1.5 games back, really the 2 games back if you consider the fact that the Raptors are on the tiebreaker. Yeah, they just got to keep taking care of business. They got to keep taking care of the results. And honestly, the other thing is just figuring out the rotation and figuring out a rhythm for the team. So Fred's return changed the starting lineup again. So Nick went back to his original starting lineup of Kyle, Fred in the backcourt, OG at 3, Pascal at 4, and Norm at 5. it's actually wild how just one substitution changed the entire size of the team. When you look at it, like the last two games against OKC and against Washington without Fred, they played with Mark at center, Serge at four, Siakam at three, OG at two, and Kyle at one. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, that is a monstrous team. That's massive. And then when you put Fred in that lineup, you're like, that team's kind of small. I don't know. Like, the backcourt's a little small. OG at three, Pascal at four, okay. But, you know, and it's hard to tell anything with the Timberwolves. And honestly, Nick has already said that he's going to start experimenting. Wouldn't be surprised if the lineup changes again. I think, you know, you're going to see different combinations. And really the only two constants are going to be Kyle and Pascal. The other guys, honestly, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Mark came off the bench one time. Just for a look. I don't think Mark deserves to come off the bench at all. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick, you know, changed, you know, just basically cycle through the top seven. You know, you got Serge, you got Norm, and there's different ways you can work Serge and Norm at the starting lineup. And we've already seen a little bit of that. But, yeah, it's just about finding the rotation, finding everyone healthy. Tonight's rotation was very similar to what it was in the start of the season. You know, so you got the starting five, and then you got Serge and Norman Powell coming off the bench as the first two subs. Rondé was kind of the eighth man. You know, he played as many minutes as Serge and Norm did tonight. You look at 24 minutes for Serge, 24 minutes for Rondé, 25 minutes for Norm. Like, you know, clearly Rondé was the eighth man there. And honestly, you know, the ninth man tonight was Pat McCaw, and I'm sure people are thrilled about that. And the 10th man was Terrence Davis. And, you know, this is not surprising. This was the rotation at the start of the year. McCaw wasn't healthy. But, you know, this is kind of what the Raptors did to start the year. I guess Rondé wasn't really in it either. But yeah, you know, this is just one look. The Raptors obviously feel comfortable with this look. They know they can play it. This is probably the rotation that they have played the most. I wouldn't be surprised to see it shuffle. I know Nurse will change it up and figure different things out. And it's just, there's not that much to quibble with, really. If you know, okay, so some people are upset Chris Boucher's not playing much. You have Marcus Gasol and Serge Ibaka. Like, those guys are just straight up better than Chris Boucher. I don't know what you want me to say about that. I don't know what Nick to do about that. Matt Thomas isn't playing much. Again, with Norman Powell playing so well at shooting guard, and Fred VanVleet back in the lineup, there's not a lot of minutes at shooting guard. And Matt Thomas basically only plays shooting guard. You know, Stanley's obviously out of rotation. I don't think anyone's bickering about that. And really, the only people that are complaining maybe are just about Pat McCaw playing 22 minutes and Terrence Davis playing 11. Obviously, you know, Davis is a lot more popular than McCaw. And I'm not necessarily with Nick all the time on this. I do think there are times where he plays McCaw for no reason. Whereas Davis, you know, I do see him sort of not necessarily getting the benefit of the doubt. But on a night like this, I can understand it. Like, I don't disagree with the minute distribution tonight. Because in those 11 minutes, Terrence Davis is not very good. Like, just straight up. I mean, he's inconsistent as a rookie. He has incredible highs. Incredible highs. We just saw one yesterday against the Washington Wizards. You know, he puts 26 points on them. You know, he does a great job. But then tonight, he comes out, and it's just a dud. Like, you can kind of tell from the start of the game, too. Like, he's missing a lot of his rotations. Like, if you just watch the game closely and watch Terrence Davis, he does get lost a little bit, you know, in this flow of things. Again, it's normal. It's completely normal for a rookie to do that. I'm not trying to knock the guy, but I'm just saying, objectively speaking, he's a little bit lost on defense, and he's not really finding his shots. And even when he had his shots, he didn't really hit his shots. You know, you look at it tonight, 11 minutes, 2 turnovers, 0 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. In 11 minutes, like, it's not great. So, you know, you don't play him. That's okay. Because I think the way to look at it is, like, Davis' upside is a lot higher than McCaw's. So you always want to give Davis a look. But honestly, the floor between the two players, I think Davis's floor is also a little bit lower than McCaw in the sense that sometimes he's bad and he's just real bad. I mean, it's not taking a lot. I mean, McCaw is like the first floor and Davis is the ground floor. Like, it's not that big of a difference, but at least McCaw, you know, generally speaking, handles the ball a little safer. Obviously, he's had some pretty notable gaffes of late, but, you know, I think Nick trusts him to, like, get people in their sets. And also, McCaw plays better defense than Davis. Let's be real. Like, McCaw tonight was actually pretty good on defense. 1 steal, 3 blocks. Made a couple of good reads there. You know, and you know, and McCott doesn't bring offense. Like, you only 2 points tonight, an offensive rebound, no assists. Like, you know, it's not great. Especially for 22 minutes, he's invisible. But I don't know. When Davis is struggling like that, I don't mind to see McCott get out there and get some minutes. And it's really just about filling that time, really. Because, you know, Fred right now is on a minutes restriction. Kyle, his minutes have really come down of late. Only played 33 against OKC. I think played less than 30 against Washington, and today only 28. So it's great to see. And, you know, just for the team as a whole, like, it's just about finding consistency, finding rhythm, finding different lineup combinations that could work. And, yeah, the Raptors are in a good spot, man. I mean, like, again, now they're in the third seed. They got a little bit more work to do to get to second and to hold second, but they got a pretty easy schedule coming up. They got everyone healthy. Things are looking pretty good for the Raptors, you know? Things are looking pretty good. And we'll see if they can keep it up, but pretty confident that they can. I mean, this team is championship tested. And honestly, one thing that obviously, even beyond the game, is just the one thing that really stood out to me that what I'm going to remember this game by is what Fred VanVleet said in the post-game interview with Eric Smith of Sportsnet, where he said, quote, "None of us are in it for individual accolades. Most of us in the rotation won a championship. Anything other than that is just a cherry on top." And that was in response to Eric's questions about, you know, the Raptors having to make sacrifices in minutes and shots and everything like that now that they're healthy again. And, you know, it is a big sacrifice because it really did strike me when I was looking at the garbage time lineup tonight that came in. I was like, okay, so there's Matt Thomas, there's Terrence Davis, there is Stanley Johnson, there's Rondé, and there's, like, Chris Boucher. I'm like, yo, that was, like, their garbage time lineup. That was their garbage time lineup. But that's also the same lineup that won them some games over the stretch, you know? Like, all those guys had big moments, and because the Raptors have been so banged up, they've really had to extend the team. And now those guys go from shining, especially a guy like Boucher. Like, how much love was Boucher getting? How many plays was he making? And now he's out of the rotation altogether. Like, it's tough. It must be really, really tough. But Fred's absolutely right, man. Like, it's not about individual accolades. It's about winning the championship. The focus on this team, it's just really refreshing, you know? And honestly, in a game like this, when they play against the Timberwolves, it's a stark contrast, you know, because you look at Wiggins and Towns. Those guys get big numbers. Do they get wins? Do they make anyone else better? Do they sacrifice? Not really, man. Not really. And, you know, the Raptors, you know, I don't know, man. It's not the most talented team. It's not the, you know, it's not whatever. It's not the most heralded team. But damn, they just want to win. They play to win. They play defense. They share the ball. They play with energy. They're deep. They sacrifice for each other. They cheer for each other. And it's just such a joy to watch the team. So, in terms of your three stars tonight, first star, I'm giving that to Fred VanVleet, obviously. He's just been gassing him the whole podcast. 29 points, 29 minutes, 11 of 16 shooting from the field, 7 of 8 from 3, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals. You know, I just... The 4 steals is great, too, just because, man, Fred is so good at just, like collecting every loose ball. He's, you know, he's just a magnet. And he was one of the league leaders in deflections before his injury. So, you know, his return to the lineup, it just brings a jolt of defense. You know, he's really good at guarding especially smaller players and even digging out against bigger players. Fred was really good tonight. The confidence was amazing. Hitting Kyrie Irving, you know, style layups, you know, pulling up for three. Fred was awesome, and I really missed him. Second star tonight, Kyle Lowry, 28 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 10 of 17 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, in 28 minutes. Incredibly efficient. Again, took over that third quarter, really just brought the team, you know, to the game, brought the game, you know, seized control of the game, sort of really invigorated the rest of the team, and that's what a leader should do, right? That's what a leader should do. You know, when everyone else is sluggish, everyone else is going through it, Kyle Lowry steps up, and he cares more than everyone else, man. He cares. He cares about every game. He cares about every possession of every game. He cares about a game in January when there's like a foot of snow on the ground, and they're in freaking Minnesota, and they come into the hotel late and everything like that. Kyle Lowry's there to take charges. He's there to make up plays. He's there to honestly even argue with the referees. This man cares, man. Like, if you compare, like, talent, Wiggins has way more talent than Kyle Lowry. But if you compare heart, it's not even close, man. So Kyle's your second star. And then your third star tonight, Norman Powell. 20 points, 25 minutes off the bench, 8 of 15 shooting. Honestly, it was actually weird. I was actually finding myself disappointed in Norm because I was like, man, he's really off with the shooting. Because I really expect every shot Norm takes now to go in. But Norm did a really good job of attacking the basket. Again, the Timberwolves play no defense. And one of the nice things about having Marc Gasol back is that the spacing, even though he's 0-4 from the three, there's just a lot better spacing. There's a lot better ball movement. There's better separation when guys come off screens. And Raptors just parading to the rim and getting layup after layup. Norm actually did a lot of his damage actually with Serge Ibaka. The two of them had a nice two-man game. You know, Norm hit a couple pull-up jumpers off a screen from Serge, one for three, one for the mid-range. And again, he just got to the rim in transition. Just and Norm is just playing amazing right now, man. Yeah, and it's really encouraging that his play has not dipped one bit coming off the bench. I think he understands he can get the same shots. If anything, he can get even more shots coming off the bench, especially against weaker defenses. And he's just playing out of his mind, man. 20 points again for him. 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals as well. Playing amazing. Shout out Norman Powell, man. He's really... honestly, he's not in contention for most improved because there's a lot of competition. But damn, it's on just everyone on the team. I mean, Norm might be the most improved player just on the team. It's night and day. And it's not like he's doing anything different. It's just the focus is there and the reads are there. And everything is just he's letting the games come to him. And it's all the things that we've always said about Norm. It's not like Norm didn't have flashes of this before, but he's turned those flashes into consistency. And I'm thrilled, and everyone should be thrilled. And he's really elevating the level of play, man. You look at it. The Raptors are just offensively, we know the starting lineup can score. It's not a question of whether the bench can score. The Norm can give you, an efficient, even 15 points a game. Not even 20 every game, even though he's giving you 20 every game. If he can give you 15 efficient points every night, Raptors are going to get 100, 110, 120 points pretty easily with regularity. If you look at the last three games, 122 tonight, 140 against the Wizards, 130 against OKC. Norm 20 plus in all those games. It's looking good right now. He's really raising the ceiling of the offense. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to Jared Culver. 26 points, 8 of 16 shooting, 4 of 10 from 3, 6 of 9 from the free throw line. Nice. 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 2 blocks, whatever. I mean, he's nice. He's carrying on that Minnesota Timberwolves tradition of being a lottery pick that puts up big numbers on a losing team. So, honestly, the Raptors lost track of him a lot in the first quarter, and he got a lot of open shots. After that, he wasn't as effective. He still got inside a couple of times, but he's not bad. He's not bad. So, that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, another reminder, if you want to be part of the live call-in show that takes place every Friday on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page, with myself and co-host Josh Hart. If you would like to take part in that and ask a question, but you cannot call in between 3:30 and 4:30, leave us a voicemail. You can direct message the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram page. Leave a comment, leave a hot take, leave a question, leave whatever. And, we will chop it up and play it on the show. If your comment is good. So, yeah, do that. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for listening. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Thanks everyone for watching on YouTube. And I'll be back on Monday when the Raptors play the Hawks.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.